now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding.
Elliott.
Oh, Elliott. I'm sorry.
Goodness.
Presents the CBS Radio Network. I think we've had a particularly effective warm down today.
Wallace, you did a nice job with them. Thanks a lot, fellas. Billy got them into a good mood, and I think they're going to be glad to.
You want to triumph, don't you?
Yeah, I wish they would clam up.
Yeah, you heard them triumph.
Right now. We want to tell you about our new picture window that we mentioned a few days back.
Oh, as we look out of it now, it is just absolutely beautiful. As you know, darkness is arriving hours earlier here in New York now, and it's a beautiful scene from the Bob and Ray picture window. All these lights coming on, blinking. Beautiful.
All right.
Yeah.
Could I look through the telescope there?
That's right. This is, this telescope we just installed this morning.
No, I just want to take a look around Manhattan in the early autumn like this.
Well, do you have a dime?
I think so. I have to put a dime in?
You got to put a dime, and you can look for about a minute, minute and a half.
Then it turns off. Has
now, look, down below there are certain things you can set it, say, number one. You see that?
Yes.
Number one will show you the Brooklyn Battery tunnel, the entrance to it. And then number two, you got, let's see.
Well, wait a minute now.
We haven't finished it all. I know number 11 is Yankee Stadium.
Well, you mean I don't actually see these things through the telescope?
Yeah, you do. You see them, but you line the telescope up on
the
numbers.
Oh, I see. I'd like to have pictures of
number
it.
10, you can see the Queen Mary, if it's in town.
If she's in her berth.
Right.
Yes. Well, I'll find a dime, I guess, someplace. I'd like to try it out, kind of be the first to try it.
Okay.
It's kind of a conspicuous first. I'll just go over.
All right. How's it look?
Great.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. What's our first feature today? Do we have a special theme?
We certainly have, and the theme with it, too. And now, listeners, a few moments with Leonard Burnside as he explains crooning, its origins, and its place in the musical world. Mr. Leonard Burnside.
Crooning, a cacophony of sound cascading from a verdant musical jungle? Or is it a well-planned, throaty accumulation of sounds by a great organizer of melody? We shall see. Mr. Besdale, if you please.
Body Odin Bow, Rotten Diddy Bow.
Thank you, Mr. Besdale. Now that we have heard, we begin to wonder. One almost thinks of crooning as a fragmentary bit of Americana, revealing, yet quasi-damaging in its consistency. And while the music is being paraphrased, listen to this strain.
Yada booty doodin do, roadie fada deetin dappin bappin bo.
And so we begin to see what Gerald Dekhart was getting at. There's nothing frightening about it, indeed. It's a fructifying experience. You see, Dekhart was not so much interested in musical content as he was in the elasticity of the notes. The music would be sung heartily or with a moue of distaste. Mr. Besdale.
Mada doo dee doo. Oh, bop-doo, bop-doo, dee 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 doo 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 doo.
Slowly we come to terms with crooning, but it was not until 1923 that we realized the dynamism, the inbreeding of crooning with the more stable or unprogresso kind of music. So the cross-fertilization had begun. The invocation, the emergence, the precipitation, the entree, so to speak, the entrance to the back door of music had been accomplished. There was no going back. I want you to pay particular note to the enchanting Dekhart variation here, Mr. Besdale. How can two themes run concurrently? Well, it's a tribute to the genius of Dekhart. While one melody advances rubato, The other recedes contrapuntally into the background, diminuendo, barely making itself heard, only to return with mild insult. Yeah, that sounded oppressive. It was exactly what Descartes set out to achieve, the bittersweet. Again, we hear the melancholy unings of one sad note overtaking another sad note without taxing the structure. The Weltschmerz of these Descartes outpourings never ceases to amaze me. Mr. Besdale, if you please finish this particular piece we're dealing with now. So there you have it. Descartes knew that sooner or later he'd have to be dealt with. His music was a force that could not, would not be denied. His was a world of melody, and melody meant all the world to him. I think we must reckon crooning as a serious yet simpatico art form. Not to do so would be unwise. Bravissimo. Bravissimo, my good friend Descartes. I applaud you. Thank you for what you did.
Thank you very much. Wasn't that pleasant?
There's a loser.
Hey, another loser.
A loser.
And I think, though, we have a winner coming up right here.
Well, of course, kids are going back to school nowadays. Most of them are back, I guess, by now. And one of the big problems in education today is finding enough youngsters who are interested in technical fields and science in general and who will go after some of these more difficult courses. We study the problem a bit, and we've invited to our studio Mr. Harmon, who
sure.
is principal of a brand new technical high school. I believe it is the Equitable P. Harmon Science and Tech High School.
Well, that's right, Mr. Wright. Being a man of scientific bent myself, I was made acutely aware of the problem, so I...
Do I refer to you as doctor, professor, or just Mr. Harmon, or...
Well,
what is correct?
Mr. Harmon would be all right.
You're not...
I don't want to appear too stuffy.
Oh, I know you have an impressive career as an inventor.
Well, as I was mentioning, I invented the plastic collar stay.
Yes.
Keep your collar neat.
That's probably your chief claim to fame. I don't think one of us men gets dressed in the morning. Well, after you find them, after you look at them, without remembering the man who invented the plastic collar stay, Equitable B. Harmon. Nice to have you.
All summer, I have been campaigning for funds to establish my my high school, and I finally have the building now. It's located just a block west from MIT.
Oh, fine.
It's called Equitable P. Harmon Science Technical High School, and the freshmen report this coming Monday.
Wonderful. Getting a little bit late start, but I suppose you'll carry the class.
Well, it's going to be a concentrated speed-up class. Now, they'll report Monday, Mr. Elliott, and they'll have basic science fundamentals.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday, the Einstein theory of relativity.
Fine.
Wednesday, nuclear physics. Thursday, astrophysics. And Friday... several students will be shot into space and returned by evening.
More or less demonstration
right.
experiment.
Saturday will be football practice.
Sounds like rather a full schedule you have, and a very complete one, incidentally, too. And for any of the kids listening, of course, they can write to us. What do you think the biggest problem will be this term with your class?
I think the biggest problem this year will be against Lowell High School on Thanksgiving Day.
You look for them to win that game.
I do, yes.
Well, good luck with the Equitable P. Harmon Science Tech High School. I hope.
Thank you very much, and I want to thank you and your employers, the Columbia Network Broadcasting.
Columbia Broadcasting.
For making this radio time available to me.
Thank you, Mr. Harmon.
Wally, what do you see over there at the
bus? Well, I got
a good look. Is it Queen Mary Ann?
No, I don't think it is. I can't pick it out. You got kind of a cloudy lens on this telescope.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We got it used, and we haven't had a chance to check it all out. I don't know whether there's any faults in that lens or not, but We'll have someone...
I don't think it's worth a dime to look through it right now until you get it.
Well, it's a little foggy maybe tonight.
Do you like jelly donuts?
Once in a while. Occasionally, yes. Now then, let's see. Anything else we want to cover today?
No, we don't go out. We don't call in Smelly Dave today, do we?
No, not today.
I think that may
be tomorrow.
You don't
want to mention my new inn at all.
Well, we could mention it, but it's getting to be more like a commercial. You're talking about this every day,
mm-hmm.
the Mary Lagoon Inn.
Mm-hmm.
You have opened, I presume.
Yes, we opened this past weekend,
wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. We opened Saturday night, but I'm still looking for some sort of entertainment. I don't know what kind, what all.
Mary, if you want the Smoky Valley Boys to come up there, we got the vamps all down now.
No, I explained to you. I don't want vamps. You have to have a song, and that's all. No vamps at all. But I want you, Bob and Ray, anytime you come on up, to be sure and drop in and have a lovely meal.
We'd like to. As a matter of fact, I was in Maine over the weekend and a couple of days, and everybody left. It seemed right after Labor Day.
Big
I was wondering if anybody showed up when you opened the place.
No, just one or two of the local people came by, just more or less looking.
Rubbernosing.
That's all.
Rubbernecking.
Gave me what they call the double O. Yeah, and that's about all.
What is that?
Well, just kept looking at me and checking the food and all. Oh, there goes your theme.
Yeah, well, don't go away, Mary, because we want you to give us a preview of tomorrow's featured recipe in just 10 seconds. Now here's Mary with a preview of tomorrow's recipe.
Then you cube a hunk of ice.
That's it.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get word.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.